5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America.
One show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
All right, welcome back. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. An important reminder, if you've missed any of it, get our app, Wendy Bell Radio Network, easy to find, and our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio. 2.5 million people have already downloaded our podcast onto their phone. So take us with you, okay? We love being a part of your life. John Guandolo is our national security expert, former FBI agent, the guy who's a Marine, the guy who's a dad, the guy who's a patriot. He gets in touch with me over the week and sends me frightening little articles about Islamic movement, Muslim Brotherhood on campus, jihadi movements going on. John, what do you got for us this time?
Well, there's a lot going on, and I guess I'll start with the fact that certainly the intel that I have and the intel that we're seeing through open source and through what the enemy is saying, they're really looking to increase the attacks and are looking to up these ground attacks, not just on campuses, but in communities that we're seeing growing. They do not want to stop the momentum. And the concerning thing that I would add, if that's not concerning enough, is that what we're seeing from local governments, not just state governments, local governments, is not only a lack of doing something, it's I'm seeing a real passivity in some communities from the police, from the mayors, from local leaders, and there's plenty on social media to watch. It's shocking to me how local communities are still cowed in many places. Now, I will say this. I sent a video of a New York Transit police officer, literally the leader of Chinese Communist Black Lives Matter in New York City. The guy must be 6'6", 300 pounds, leaning into this officer, physically touching him, like pushing him back, calling him names I won't repeat on here live, but and saying, come on, do something. You're basically calling him a coward, saying you're not going to do anything. And the cop didn't do anything, and the other cops didn't do anything. So he was assaulting a cop right there, and the guy walked away. And what happens when we do that is we're, again, as we have been, as the federal government has time and again, we're showing the enemy we're weak, you can walk on us. And when communists and jihadis see weakness, from the jihadi standpoint, they're commanded by Sharia to fight you harder. But I will say this. I wanted to add this. A good friend of mine is a police officer in Louisiana, and I sent him that clip, and he's like, yeah, that crap wouldn't fly down here. So there are places where I know that that's not going to happen. I'm not saying that every police department is cowing to these people, but a lot are. And a lot of police chiefs and sheriffs do not understand that when you don't lay the hammer down on these guys, you are making it much more dangerous for your community.
It's such a conundrum, too, the demonizing of police and police being scrutinized with every single move they make. And the BLM chanting for the defunding of them, John, which you said something very interesting to me as we were chatting earlier in the week. And you think that the strike that's going to come is going to be far more serious with far more reaching consequences than anybody can possibly grapple with. And you have intel that suggests that?
Well, yeah. I mean, everything, there's a real battle going on both internationally, but certainly inside the United States and the Islamic movement and the leadership. There are leaders who want to stay the course because politically and culturally they feel they're winning. They feel that the Americans are just taking it, like America in general is taking a knee. And so they don't feel like they should overplaying their hand, which, by the way, is a crime in Islam to go too far too fast. That's what extremism is in Islam, is to, if you advance the movement too far too fast, you risk not only losing Muslims who don't understand what you're doing, but you risk exposing yourself. But they feel like if we just keep going, like we have control inside the federal government, we have everything we need. They're doing our bidding for us. Just let it play out. But there is a strong and loud voice in the Muslim community in America of the people that are active. And it's a pretty large movement that it's time to go. It's time to go kinetic. It's time to start raising the flag of jihad and the Hamas flag on mosques and Islamic organizations and showing them who, from their perspective, who we are, so they know, because they feel like they're at the precipice of victory. Now, whether they are or not, we can have a separate debate about that, but I think politically they've achieved almost everything they want to achieve short of establishing the caliphate. I mean, if you look at the level of control and the level of Christian and Jewish organizations that have completely cowed to them, the level of support they have in the business community across America and the amount of millions of dollars of funding that pours into these groups that are terrorists in suits, the number of elected officials that are openly supporting Hamas, we have well over 100 members of Congress that openly support Hamas doing business as CARE or MGAGE or ISNA or whatever the groups are. So they've really, and I mean, of course, the media is completely on their side. My colleagues and I, whether it's Robert Spencer or Bill Warner or, you know, me, or put the person in there, we have been blasted for years.
Yes.
For by
talking
the media
about this. Yes.
Despite the evidence.
Yeah. Tell me about Dennis Prager. What kind of mess is he in?
Well, you know, first of all, I love what Dennis Prager has been doing, and I love PragerU, and I want to preface that because
I do too.
But I'm not going to not speak truth about something when it's really important. Now, he just put out a film about Hamas that I think is good, and it nails Hamas. But he and Dennis Prager has said there are issues with Islam. And yet, you know, he works with, and he publicly admits, but he's worked with for almost four decades, guys like Salam al-Mariati from the Muslim Public Affairs Council. He's been their executive director for years, who's one of the most senior Muslim Brotherhood Hamas leaders in America. And so either Dennis Prager's, I'm assuming he's just totally ignorant, because he would tell you, no, he's a nice guy, we work together, we don't agree. But, you know, you don't agree. What Dennis Prager believes and what Salam al-Mariati believes are polar opposites. But see, they gray that area by being friendly. This is like a counterintelligence recruitment. And in a clip that I posted in the last couple days, which was from several years ago, when Dennis Prager admitted he was invited by Maher Hafout, or Hathout, however you pronounce it, I couldn't care less, but this is a guy who is one of the most senior Muslim brothers from overseas, coming to the United States. He worked with Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. He created the Muslim Public Affairs Council, or what became the Muslim Public Affairs Council. He's deceased now, Maher Hatta. And these are the kind of, this is the ocean in which Dennis Prager is swimming in the Islamic community. So it's no wonder he would say something like, I think, you know, Islam has to, you know, make Sharia individualized so everyone gets to choose their own Sharia. Well, Dennis, the mention of that, for a Muslim to even suggest that, is an immediate capital crime, because what you're saying is Allah is wrong. And to say that in Islam is death. I mean, the next thing you'll hear after that comes out of your mouth is your head hitting the ground. So this is, Wendy, the stuff that you and I have been talking about for so long. This is a great example of a good man. I believe, I don't care what people think about Dennis Prager, I think he's a good man.
I do too.
I think he's doing a lot of good.
Yes.
But this is how it works.
Yes.
They approach you, they're in the long game, because they know if they're in the long game with you, they may, it might not bear fruit for 3 years, but when it does, when you can sit on camera and do an hour and a half interview with Dennis Prager, it gives you bona fides in the entire United States. So now Salama Mariotti can show up and talk to Turning Point USA or all these other groups. Now, I don't know that he is.
That's how it works. And John, you said this, the enemy comes in wearing a suit and a smile and builds a long-term relationship with you. So you spew their rubbish to your followers. That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. More with our national security expert, John Guandolo. A personal experience he has with these folks trying to actually silence his truth. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Welcome back to our national security expert, John Guandolo. John, I want to open your door into this conversation that you shared with me. You gave a speech at the Naval Academy in San Diego, did you not?
I did.
And this is 2018.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, it's interesting. So let me back up, because I think it would help your audience to kind of explain. The article or the post recently by Musab Yusuf, who is the son of one of the founders of Hamas, who left Islam, and is very outspoken, and some people may have seen him, like on Dr. Phil or other shows, confronting these people and just calling them out and explaining how evil Sharia and Islam are. Well, he put out a post recently talking about Taha Hassani, who is the leader of the Islamic Center of San Diego, which is a mosque there, which hosted and gave direct support to two of the 9/11 hijackers, by the way. Of course, nobody was arrested because we wouldn't want to offend anybody. And so in 2018, I go out to speak to the U.S. Naval Academy Alumni Association at their invitation in San Diego. And the whole buildup to me speaking to my own alumni association, because I'm a Naval Academy graduate, Hamas doing business as CARE, and other major Islamic groups in America go bat you know what crazy and begin sending messages to the Naval Academy Alumni Association, telling them who they can and can't have come speak, and that I'm a hater and all this. And of course, thank goodness, great leadership out of the San Diego chapter. They said, nope, he's a graduate, he's a professional, what he's saying has merit, so we're going to let him speak. And I came in, I laid it out. And because this guy, who's the imam at the Islamic Center of San Diego, he's a Hamas terrorist in a suit, he should be in jail at least, and that center is one of the leading jihadi centers in America, by the way. Maybe a hint would be they hosted two of the 9/11 hijackers and others. that are nefarious, but because he was a guest of one of the attendees, who is a veteran, a Naval Academy grad who converted, he was there, and he was allowed to be there. The leadership from the local Hamas doing business as Council on American Islamic Relations chapter showed up, and I was sitting at the table next to this female. She was in civilian clothing, but she's was a Marine captain, and she's looking at what's going on. I said, "Oh yeah, those guys are Hamas." She looked at me and she said, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's the leadership of CARE. That's Hamas." And she just, without saying a word, she stood up, walked over, and she's like, "You get the hell out." She's like, "They are not coming in here." And that was the end of that. It was awesome. But I'm sharing this because this is the guy who is very engaged in what's going on college campuses here because, of course, he's Hamas, and he's a Hamas leader. So that's the tie-in to the story here. That's what Mossab Youssef put out, is like at the center of what's going on these campuses. Here's this guy, the Imam of the Islamic Center of San Diego. And then he gave a very good background and then referenced another post that had been done that was, I thought, very good. And here's the point. When I was given my presentation and he's sitting right there, I brought it up because I had built it in him. I'm like, here's the Islamic Center of San Diego, and they're Hamas, and that guy right there is a Hamas leader. And you invited him in here. You allowed him to sit in here with combat veterans. It's outrageous. I made the point, and he didn't say a word. But this is the problem. I just saw something this morning where someone said, "Hey, maybe it's time we start speaking up." Really?
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, and that's what's frustrating for me. Like, I say this because we're unusual. I'm a mom who's conservative and has a microphone, and people listen. We're not afraid of saying what needs to be said. Everybody's got to wake the hell up, John.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you this. What a lot of people are waiting for is leadership. And what you're doing, Wendy, and what you and Brock are doing here as this team is you're leading because you're speaking truth, and Americans are starving for it. They're starving for somebody to get it right, and so far nobody's put it all together for them and explained what exactly is going on. They're talking about parts of it. They're talking about symptoms of it, but we're still attacking issues and policies and not the enemy. The enemy is a communist movement,
yes,
an Islamic movement that's,
yes,
working together to destroy America with people that are supporting and funding them,
yes,
who are not necessarily ideologically aligned. And it's got to be crushed.
And it's got to be crushed. And the only way we do that, ladies and gentlemen, is by these steps that John takes with us every single week. His name is John Guandolo. He is our national security expert. Find him. He is amazing to hear. And John, we appreciate your time. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. This Kansas City Chiefs kicker guy who espouses traditional family values, Catholic values, pro-life values, sane values, getting excoriated and crazy support. Oh, don't go anywhere. It's next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. All right, so we got to talk about this Kansas City Chiefs kicker, right? Harrison Butker. Makes a speech, Benedictine College, University, whatever the hell it is, in Kansas. He is Catholic. He is religious. He is a faithful man. He believes in traditional family values. Said some stuff. We need to get back to or get away from emasculating men. We need to elevate women to believe and enjoy their God-given role as life bearers, as moms, as homemakers. That's not something bad. Now, I'm 54, you guys. I grew up with parents who told me I could be whatever I wanted to be. I was a young woman, a young girl of the 70s. Go to college, dream, go. You don't have to be a secretary, nurse, or a teacher. You can be whatever you want. And so I went out and I did it. I got to tell you, when I had 5 kids under the age of 8, and I worked a very stressful, intense job as a news anchor at an ABC station in my town of Pittsburgh. It was super stressful, right? Now, I managed to make things happen, but I appreciate his perspective because I will say, because of the time I invested in my children, raising a family and keeping a home together. As my husband was providing for our family, I have five pretty cool kids. Is that because of it? I don't know. Didn't hurt. So he's getting all this backlash. Oh, can you believe? Why can't people have their own freaking ideas? Why aren't you allowed to have your own damn perspective? Well, you are, until you trigger all the snowflakes out there who are out walking around or going on some starvation thing at Princeton or being ne'er-do-well malignant clowns, right? Oh boy, did he trigger people. So here we go. Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butkert criticized abortion and LGBTQ pride marches in a speech at Benedictine College in Kansas. His team has not reacted to the three-time Super Bowl champs' comments. The NFL said it was a personal matter. I don't know why they needed to wade in. He didn't show up wearing his jersey. He showed up as a God-loving and fearing man. Suck it if you don't like it. So all these people, nearly 160,000 people, it's probably well more than that now, have signed a petition for the 28-year-old's firing. Why? 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 This is our form of what? Of bullying. This is the local, this is the grassroots ground level version of what goes on in D.C. and the Beltway and the Swamp, right? If we can all agree, and I think it's undeniable, that all of the garbage that we see going on in Washington, D.C. is the same as what happened at Epstein's Island. It's predicated on blackmail and bribery. I'm going to hook you up doing some crap you shouldn't be doing. Cameras are in the ceiling. We're recording every daggone thing that you do. And then when I need your vote, I'm going to pull out my video and be like, it sure would be a shame if this came out. Okay, what do you need me to do? This has trickled down to the bullying and the garbage of the low information voter, the drive-by news consumer who just sees a headline and goes, oh my gosh. They don't look at the granular data. In his 20-minute address last Saturday, Butker said to women graduates at the Catholic private college that they had been told the most diabolical lies. Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, he said. But I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. He added that his wife's life had truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. Look, you can be offended by that. I'm not offended by that. I like family values. You do you. This is his idea. Now, it's curious. 160,000 people signed this. Get rid of this guy. He's terrible. Meanwhile, we're cool with wife beaters in the NFL. We're cool with people who sell drugs. Right? We don't actually vilify people in the NFL who might do bad things like murder. God forbid this dude should talk about traditional family values. Well, it's cool that his jersey now, number 7, is exploding on the Fanatics website because that's exactly what's going on. Seems like the common sense Americans out there are down with the message. Crazy doesn't have a long shelf life. It's time to get our country back, and it begins at your house, on your street, doing the best job you can to raise the best kids you can. Well, how about this? The Attorney General of Missouri, who I hope is the Attorney General under Donald Trump, because this guy's badass. Andrew Bailey is all over the Kansas City mayor, apparently, from an official capacity Twitter account, tweeting out, by the way, just so you guys all know, this Harrison Butker guy is from Lee's Summit, Kansas, trying to distance himself from this apparently a really offensive view about life and freedom and faith and family. So the Attorney General of Missouri is like, hey, wait a minute. Why are you tweeting out stuff about doxing where this kicker lives? I want to read you this. Today, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey demanded Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas turn over all documents, records, and communications relating to his office's Twitter post retaliating against Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker for comments he made in a commencement speech at Benedictine College in which he openly discussed his Catholic faith. Missourians of faith deserve to know why Kansas City officials decided to attack Mr. Butker over his deeply held religious beliefs. My office will not tolerate religious discrimination from city officials. I will enforce the Missouri Human Rights Act and ensure Missourians are not targeted for their free exercise of religion. The mayor needs to immediately turn over his office's communications relating to this post. We're done. You've gone after a president. You've gone after people who went to the Capitol to watch history being made. You've gone after Catholics. You've gone after parents. You've gone after whistleblowers. You've gone after people who've deviated from the narrative that you wish everybody to pick up and to pass along. Those of us who are independent, who are free thinkers, who know right from right from wrong, and who believe in that very basic tenet that Clarence Thomas espoused. North is still North, even if you stand by yourself. That's what got Jake Lang through 30 days of solitary confinement and 1,400 days of lockup before he's even gone to trial. That is the fight that we are in. Let's do it, ladies and gentlemen. We need it. I need some good news, baby. Feels like the world's gone crazy. Give me some good news, baby. Give it to me. Give it to me. All right. Brock has selected, though you guys have shared with him, and he has selected a good news story from my boyfriend. Is that not what happened, Brock? It is what happened. My boyfriend, Steve Hartman from CBS, a story about the lengths one community has gone to communicate with a special little girl. Enjoy.
At the far end of Islington Road in Newton, Massachusetts, lives a little girl near and dear to the neighborhood. 2-year-old Samantha Savitz is deaf, but boy, does she love to talk to anyone who knows sign language. Her parents, Raphael and Glenda.
Yeah, she's super engaging. She wants to, you know, chat up with anybody.
Yeah, her whole personality changes when it's someone who can communicate with her.
Likewise, if someone can't, well, that makes Sam just a little sad. Her desire for engagement has been painfully obvious to everyone in the neighborhood. Whenever they see her on a walker in her yard and Sam tries to be neighborly, they find themselves at a frustrating loss for words.
I didn't know what to say back. Wouldn't you like to talk to her?
You know, basic conversation that one would have with a child.
Asking her about her day.
And make her feel that she is part of the neighborhood.
Just be her friend.
Unfortunately, this isn't something you can solve with a casserole. You'd need the whole community to learn sign language, just for a little 2-year-old girl. Can't expect neighbors to do that. You can only appreciate them when they do. On their own, Sam's neighbors got together, hired an instructor, and are now fully immersed in an American Sign Language class. The teacher, Reese McGovern, says this is remarkable because a lot of times even the parents of deaf children don't bother to learn sign language.
But here, Sam has a full community that's signing and communicating with her and her family, and it is a beautiful story.
And he says this level of inclusion will almost certainly guarantee a happier, more well-adjusted Sam, which is why her parents say there aren't words in any language to express their gratitude.
It's really shocking and beautiful.
We are so fortunate.
In fact, they say they're already seeing a difference in their daughter.
You should see her when she comes in at the end of class.
The first thing she says to us is, "Friend."
I think your heart would melt just as mine did.
Sometimes it feels like America is losing its sense of community. But then you hear about a place like this, where the village it takes to raise a child is alive and well and here to remind us that what makes a good neighborhood is nothing more than good neighbors. Steve Hartman, on the road in Newton, Massachusetts.
And that's why he's a boyfriend. I hope that you know, as you're here, and I presume it's commonly to hear this program, there's a reason why we have to end with that every week, because we have that enduring faith, that we believe in the kindness and the goodness of strangers. We just need those strangers, those kind people, the kind person in each of us to remember what it's like to stand up and to do what's right, because that's how we get it back. That's how we get this place back. That way. Quick time out when we come back. It is Bad Joke Friday, and I cannot wait. Do not go anywhere. Well, welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. It is the second most enjoyable part of our week. The first to me is good news. You already had that. The second is this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York and boy, my arm's tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Why don't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
All right, always first is Dr. Richard Rafferty. He's from the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh, and he says this. You know, at some point during a Little League game, the coach calls aside one of his 9-year-old players and asks him, do you understand what cooperation is and what a team is? Yes, coach. And do you understand that what matters is whether we win or lose together as a team? Yes, coach, I do. Well, then I'm sure that you understand that when an out is called, you should not argue, curse the umpire, or call him a jagoff. Do you understand all of that? Yes, coach. Well, that's good. That's really good. Now go over there and explain all that to your grandmother.
Aren't parents and grandparents the worst at those games?
Yes, yes.
They are horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. Please pray for my wife.
Oh.
A bee stung her in the forehead. She is in the hospital now. Her face is swollen and bruised.
Oh, my God.
And she almost died. Luckily, I was close enough to hit the bee with my shovel.
Oh, my God. Why do you like those?
I sold it really well.
You were good. You were good. Did you hear about the dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac? Yeah, he lies awake all night wondering if there really is a dog. It's a good one.
Oh,
it's an old one, but it's a good
one.
Yes,
old one?
I like it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you hear NASA is launching a mission to say sorry to all the aliens?
Oh, my. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're calling it Apollo G.
I walked into that. How does Biden sleep at night, Joe Biden? Well, first he lies on one side, and then he lies on the other side. He's seeping into our jokes.
I thought it would have something to do with pudding, but why do ducks have feathers to cover up their butt quack?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Just spent $300 on a limo, and when you know, I discovered that the fee doesn't even include the driver. I'm like, I can't believe I spent all that money, and I have nothing to show for it.
Oh, gosh. I used to work for Alaska Airlines. They have an open door policy.
Oh, ooh. How many Democrats does it take to change a light bulb? None. Biden tells them he fixed it, and they sit in the dark and applaud.
That's about true, too. An old man was stopped by the police around 2 a.m., and the officer asked where he was going at that time of night. The old man replied, I'm on my way to a lecture about alcohol abuse and the effects it has on the human body, as well as smoking and staying out late. Mm. The officer asked, really, who's giving the lecture this night? The old man replied, that would be my wife.
Oh, ouch.
That was long.
I named my dog Git. He follows strangers home every day and gets fed for free, then returns home to me. He's a good dog. His name is, I don't know why, that's not funny. Sorry. I don't know. It ends. There's no ending to that joke, Brock. So we'll investigate that and I'll get Git back to you.
No, that's the end of it.
His name is
Git.
Okay.
I didn't understand it either.
Well, then why would you put it on my list? You're the gatekeeper.
What's a pirate's favorite fast food restaurant?
Unbelievable. What?
Arby's.
My uncle named his dogs Timex and Rolex. They're his watchdogs.
For his birthday, I got my son an alarm clock that swears at him instead of beeping. He's in for a rude awakening.
An old man lies on his deathbed. He smells that his wife is cooking his favorite meatballs. crawls out of bed, makes his way to the kitchen, grabs a meatball. His wife smacks him on the hand with a wooden spoon. "There for your funeral," she shouted.
I don't know why I like the marriage joke.
I don't
so
know,
much.
But why would you put a joke that makes no sense?
Because someone sent it in.
Oh my gosh.
I try to get to as many as I can. I went to the doctor today and he told me I was going deaf.
Oh.
Yeah, the news was hard for me to hear.
Frank says, "I had an illegal try to break into my house yesterday." Joe says, "Well, did you call 911? Frank replies, "No, I called 811. I just wanted to know where to dig."
You're damn straight. Is that a joke? Because that's what I would call reality.
Yes.
Right. I saw a book titled How to Solve Half of Your Problems.
Oh.
Yeah, I bought two.
What do you do if you're addicted to seaweed? You seek kelp.
Man went to his doctor and the doctor said to him, "I have some bad news and some worse news for you.
Oh, no.
The man asked, "Okay, so what's the bad news?" Doctor says, "You only have 24 hours to live." The man says, "Oh my God, that's terrible. Wait a minute. What's the worst news?" Doctor responds, "I should have told you yesterday."
Oh my heavens. What did the horses say? What did the horse say?
Eat for lunch.
What did the horse say when it fell? "Help, I've fallen and I can't giddy up."
Remember when plastic surgery was a taboo subject? Now you mention Botox, no one raises an eyebrow.
Oh, my heavens. Did you hear about the Italian with a speech impediment? Yeah, he broke both of his arms. I don't know. Why is that funny?
Because Italians talk with their hands.
Oh, got you.
Wow. Jim Henson may not have invented all of the Muppets, but make no mistake, he had a hand in most of them.
Oh, my golly. Why do mother kangaroos hate rainy days? Because their kids want to play inside.
Oh, God. I asked the surgeon if I could administer my own anesthetic, and he said, "Knock yourself out." Ba-boom.
There you go. I still want to, in the last 20 seconds with Brock.
Oh boy.
Why would you put a joke that clearly wasn't funny on for me to try to read? Did you want me to sound stupid?
You know that,
yes.
I don't pre-read them.
But you said that you read it and it didn't make sense to you either.
I saw it when I was separating the jokes for us.
Oh, and so you wouldn't have taken a pen and X'd that one out? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the real joke of all of this, right? Oh, boom, that happened. Well, we love... Okay.
Wow.
We love being with you guys. Thanks for being a part of it. Wendy Bell Radio Podcast. Join us on Locals because we're going to be doing something Sunday. Unplugged, 7 a.m. Locals.com. Put in Wendy Bell Radio. Join us to see. Have a great weekend. Peace.